And, of course, you're locked onto Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International, brought to the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. My guest this afternoon is one of those people who wear many, many, or who wears many, many, many hats. And in the promotion on social media, it says, this week on Youth Unplugged, Jamal Cyril Albert, or Albert Cyril, promoter, entrepreneur, and husband. Jamal, good afternoon.
What's up, buddy? Good afternoon.
I'm good. What's up?
I cool. I can't complain, boy. Thanks for that great introduction.
Let me tell you, great person needs a great introduction. Jamal, you know, like I said, you wear so many hats, and it's so difficult to know where to start, what to start talking about, because you have so many things you've done, so many things that you're doing currently. Where do you want to start?
Boy, I would want to start. You put me on spot here because, like I said, someone once told me that half an hour is probably might not be enough time, to be quite honest. But we'll see how it goes from there. But you said many hats, and it is true. Many hats in truth. It's been quite a run. It's been quite a good, I would say, 13 or more years in this whole entrepreneurship, promoter, under the systematic 9-to-5 as well. So it's been a lot.
Now, one thing I didn't know about you, which is the angle I'm going to take. Jamal, you were quite active in sports, football, basketball, and somewhere a little birdie even said that you had a possible promising future in track and field. That's something I find very difficult to believe. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, we know, as you grow in life, you know, you start to do things that that's not healthy. So yeah, but it was back in my secondary school days where from one until form five, I was always taking part in track and field. We run inter secondary school track and field for 5 years actually.
Wow.
One of my top track would be the 200, which myself and the deceased, rest in peace to Roland Regis, was my top competition, I would call it at the time. And we always used to compete back and forth on the 200. We partnered in the 4x1. There was a year that we almost broke the island record in the 4x1. But I had the last leg, and then when I look back, everybody was so far away from me, I just slowed down. So I felt like I was a bit arrogant at that point in time.
My goodness.
It was a heat. It was in the heat. We almost broke the island record, and then I slowed down, being arrogant. I got a lot of I got a lot of flack for that from my dad, from the coach, everybody. So athletics was the sprinting was one of my love back in that day. Especially, I'm not putting aside football and basketball as well, but I still play basketball right now up to date because I want to keep fit. So that's something I haven't dropped at all.
That's pretty cool. And why did you stop? Because it's normally said that people who do track and field, they stop when they hit the puberty and they get interested in the other sex, and that's where their interests kind of sway. Is that true in your case?
Well, I'll be honest. Track and field is a disciplined sport. And at that point in time, going through, like when you go to the form four, form five, and then you start going on, you know, the girls thing and you know that kind of life. At that point in time, I was like, yo, I don't have time to go and look track and train and all that thing. I was more interested in, you know, the finer things in life. So,
yeah, pun intended, indeed. Now, by 19, you partnered with some known people, some of whom have been guests on the show: Gregory, Sydney, Curtie Leibach, who I'm trying to get here, but she's very shy. And you guys put on the Wet Fet event, and Wet Fet is synonymous with being one of the first fets that you get to experience when you're just brocking out, so to say. How did that whole linkage and that whole vibe between the three of you happen?
Well, we were at that point in time, we were all in Safa. Curious minds again. we wanted to try something. We came together and said, try something and put it out there. The funniest part about it is that Kurt's idea was to do a cell phone clash, a big cell phone clash. Which at that point, we didn't know how it would work. But the idea from what Fred came across through, not just Kurt, Greg, and myself, but there were a lot of individuals involved. There was Bernique, there was Miguel, Eli Box, there was Chauvin St. Croix. There was a good couple of us that were involved in that, and everybody came together and put their minds together and came up with the product. But I know people will probably know Kurt and myself as the front runners for the Wet Fed, because through the years of Wet Fed, everybody went in different directions, but myself, Kurt, and Gregory, we stayed on board until the end of it, where we ourselves went in different directions. But it was basically the breaking point for all of us, and especially myself, when it came to the entertainment industry. That's where people got to know who was Jamal, like got to know about Jamal at that point in time. Wet Fed made me and made some of us who we are today, to be quite honest.
Before we move on to the phase after Wet Fed, one of the questions I really wanted to ask is, how was that dynamic with the three of you? Because three strong-headed people working together, how did that work, the dynamics of it all?
To be quite honest, it was challenging at times, because like you said, it's three strong-headed individuals, but we friendship was what kept us together, to be quite honest. It was more than just the event. It was more of a friendship. Everybody had an understanding of different people's roles. So you would get Kurt and Gregory as more of the construction part of it. They knew how to put together all these construction. Because remember, we built our own slide. So these guys, that was their thing. And I was just the promotion. I was just the entertainment person. So, like, we knew how to mesh. So we came together. It wasn't that difficult. Again, you must get setbacks and, you know, little hiccups there and there, but we hold it together.
After that, of course, you went then on to work with the Honorable Dr. Adrien Ogier at Landmark Events. What was that? Did that really give you a further love for the art of promotion, the events industry?
It did. It quite frankly, it did. And it took me a step further in the love of not just the events, but like you said, the art industry as well, because Mr. Ogier himself is a genius when it comes to art. Mm-hmm. I once sat down and watched Mr. Ogier in a conversation just design an entire costume. In a conversation. With that, it was effortless. There was no mind. So he was just staying there and sketching and stuff like that. So he taught me a lot when it comes to the art part about the entertainment industry and the love for it. And you know how much you could invest into it and think outside of the box. That's what Mr. Ogier does. He thinks outside of the box. And I'm grateful for that opportunity to work with him. I was very grateful. At a young age again, I learned a lot from that.
Now, Jamal, quite apart from that, the Wet Feds, working at Landmark, you went on to create your own stuff. I mean, most notably, we talked about the Junior Soca Monarch competition, which was a very good initiative on your part to expose the younger generation to the art of, you know, the soca and the culture. So kudos to you for that. And I remember when you were working on that along with Troublesome Ron Nestor. what was the inspiration behind that?
The inspiration behind that was me years before involved in the soca industry when I was partnering, or you could say, people would say, managing Hollywood HP when we first won our 2010 Soca Monarch, and seeing the need for helping out the youth and seeing there is a lot of talent in St. Lucia when it comes to Soca Monarch. I felt like it was unfair for a 19-year-old or a 17-year-old or even a 16-year-old to just come out and go and, like, compete with the big names like the Ricky T, the Sir Lancelot, at that point in time, the Pringles. It's kind of difficult for you to just come out and just compete with these guys. And I came up with the idea to you know, give them their own platform. It was not supposed to be inter-secondary. It was supposed to be Junior Soca Monarch on a whole, where we tried to do it. But, again, in in doing these kind of things, you get a lot of hiccups. You have a lot of issues. You have a lot of problems. You know, it's not that easy as it sounds. So we did it. We put it down. It didn't come out how we expected it to come out. But I am very grateful for trying. Mm-hmm. To be quite honest, the most important thing is that we tried it. I got a couple calls sometime last year where some people were telling me, boy, you know, you should bring it back, you should do it. It's challenging, it's difficult, it's very hard, but I could say it was not a bad idea at all. And a lot of people felt like, boy, this is something that we need, because you need to nurture soca artists. You need to teach them from young. You want to be a soca artist, this is the way that you're supposed to go. You don't leave preschool and go straight into secondary school. You don't. You have to pass the process. So it's good to have these avenues where the young people could go through different stages until they reach that platform. When they reach that platform, then you might be surprised. The music, the music quality might be different, way different. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was the motive behind it. And again, of course, we had hiccups because it was at the early stages. It was at my younger days. So I tried something here. Yeah, but if I right now could do it again, I would.
Definitely.
To be quite honest, I would.
Definitely, because it is a good initiative, and like you rightfully said, it's taking the generation and giving them the stages rather than taking them straight from preschool and straight into secondary school. No, let's go to primary school, and then after primary school you go. So it's a great initiative, and I actually love that analogy, which kind of explains it even better. Jamal, of course, being in the promotion industry, it is not without its trials, the misses, some score, some don't score. But then came in 2017, Rum Bucket, definitely a hit. What was the concept behind that, and what do you think contributed to the success? Is it that you've had so many years of the experience before that, so many you learned from all your mistakes, which is why this event consistently was a hit?
It was, Rum Bucket, I would say up to this day is one of my greatest achievements to this day, and it was a mixture of a couple of things. Yes, experience was there, because knowing that I'd been in this industry for quite some time, and you, like you said, hit and miss. And trust me, when you miss really bad.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. So I've been on that road, and a lot of people are I would say embarrassed to say, but I've been on that road where I miss, and miss stick me real bad. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of years of experience I'm putting into that. And I must say, I remember it wouldn't be what it is today, not just because of me, but my team. And that's one of the things that I always tell people, that no man is an island, right? That team, that small team I have, which consists of Ron Nesta, Trent Staver, and my backbone, which basically I'm going to tell you, Ron, it was her idea, my wife. Yeah, it was the name Rum Bucket. It's her name. I have to give her that. I have to give her that kudos. She came up with the name and stuff like that. So it's all about your team. Ron, Trent been there for me. Trent do anything. Ron, you know how Ron is already. Ron down for the cause.
Yeah.
Jessica. Jenna, everybody been there. Jessica St. Rose, everybody been there supporting from day one. So it has a lot to do with your team. It's not, yes, it's my baby. I put a lot of effort into it. I do a lot for it. But you need a strong team. It's always about your team. And your team makes you who you are, because the people around me, we don't do this. Yes, we do it for the money.
let's be honest.
We do it for the money, but we don't lose. We're still here. Yeah. And that's what makes the event what it is. We're there together. So everybody put their mind together and try and, you know, put stuff together and say, hey, this is what we need. This is why I listen. And that's one of the things that I learned throughout the years, not just based on my experience. And I know events. I know. I'm not an I know person. I like to listen to what other people have to say. And
really?
I don't.
You?
Yeah, yes, I do. What I do for Rum Bucket as well is that I listen to St. Lucians, to be quite honest. And I know myself. Like, I am not the mohe, the bottle, the popping bottles kind of promoter. I am not that. And when you know your niche market and you know who you are, you know your clientele, you know the people who come to your event, then you know how to put an event. And that's why for years now we've been able to execute, well, 3 years now we've been able to execute a great event. And like I say, the team is, everybody plays a part. We have people who, they're on our promotional team who handles and they themselves get on like it's their event. That's a reefer and a whole team. Everybody plays a part. Everybody plays a part in it. So it's not just Jamal. There's an entire team behind Rum Bucket.
That's amazing. And Rum Bucket was so big that you actually did a version in collaboration with some Trinis. And let me tell you, boy, I wish we could have done that here. Because my goodness, that setup alone was amazing. How did that happen, boy? How did that collaboration?
That was a life-changing experience for me because I always think of Rum Bucket. From time it came out, I look at Rum Bucket like Heineken. I look at Rum Bucket like KFC. Like, these brands are not just brands, local brands, but these brands are global brands. These brands are going all over the world. And when we came up with Rum Bucket, we tried our best to have something that we could export. Because it's like, if you exporting something, it has to be different. It has to be something another country don't have or they would love it. Mm-hmm. So our concept, everything was meshing with how we package it to export it. And when we made that relationship with the Trini promoters, that's Dignitaries, that's Mo. We have Mo. We have Ding Dong, Viking Ding Dong, who's Bungie Gallon official DJ. He's part of the team as well. Kyron, all these guys, they came together and they showed full support to the Rum Bucket brand. So when we went to Trinidad last year, basically Rum Bucket was the VIP was Rum Bucket. The VIP section of that event was Rum Bucket. And Ronnie, to be quite honest, I have never been part of a setup to break down event in Trinidad, and when I saw it, it gave me a whole different mindset of what events is like in the Caribbean, in the world.
Which is what I wanted to say, because, you know, the Trinis, they take events serious. It's not like here where we're like, oh, just a fete. They take the event business serious. What was the difference between working with them and comparing it to working with our local suppliers?
Boy, time. They're always on time. That's all. They're always on time, and they work effortlessly. There's no shutdown time. These guys would work until 12 in the night. There's no 5 o'clock and then go. They're always on time. And again, that's from my experience. But I don't necessarily know what's going on the ground over there. But from my experience, that's what I saw. And then there is the how would I say the accessibility. There's a lot of stuff up there, and Trinidad has a lot because it's a big country, so there's a lot going on up there, so you could get anything that you want. So it's much easier for the Trinidadians to put on these major events and stuff like that, but it's just so amazing to see how everything goes on, from the pyrotechnics to the stage setup to everything. So it's different when you go to an event and when you're part of an event in Trinidad. You see something totally different, to be quite honest. And it was a great experience for me and the brand Rum Bucket, because people, Trinidadians, loved the whole Rum Bucket thing. We were giving away, like, buckets by hundreds. We had to give away basically all our buckets. We didn't even have enough because they gravitated to the concept of drinking from the buckets, the whole branding on it, everything. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of love over there. So, again, I'm very grateful for the Trini support. I call them my brothers right now, because we gone from partnership to like family right now. So there's so much support in Trinidad for the brand Rum Bucket. And we're looking to expand and go to the U.S., go to St. Vincent, Barbados, because like I say, you always have to plan. You always have to plan ahead. I see it as a brand, not just as an event. So when you look at Soca Brainwash is all over the world. Right, Soca Brainwash started in Trinidad. What is wrong with a St. Lucian event going all over the world as well? There is an avenue for all of that. And the thing about it, like I say, its concept is unique. It's one of a kind, and we're getting support for it. So it's been nice so far.
Jamal, as a promoter, of course, you've had to be called Bobolis, all kind of names, because it just goes synonymously with the territory. How are you able to overcome such, you know, labeling, stereotyping? How are you able to deal with that?
For me personally, it's part of the business, because I could tell you no government comes in power and don't owe somebody, right? They owe the people, they owe the banks, they owe anybody. Now, when you do stuff like that, it's up to people to label it how you want. We all go through financial crisis in this event. Events are risk. You take a risk. There's no guarantee. You could run, have one of the biggest event company and just something happens. It starts raining, something happens. So there are so many things that could happen when it comes to events. That's the part of events that a lot of people are scared of, right? And when people call you names or call you or put you in a certain whatever it is and say this and that, it's up to you to take it how you want and how you deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? So if you're going to stay here and focus on what people call you, then, bruh, it's best you don't do anything because you're only doing it for people. I'm not doing this for people to accept, or I'm not doing this for the popularity. I'm not doing this for the fame. I'm not doing this for it. I'm doing it because I love to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day is that nobody knows what happened in the background, because it's like this, right? You end up in that situation where you do an event and then you bust. And you probably owe a couple people. And then everybody's going to say, hey, boy, Diamond owed this one owed that one. Yeah, that talk is going to go all around. But if you end up in the same situation, let's say you win, what's going to be the conversation now? Boy, Dan Philly have too much money. Dan make big money. But we're not giving out our money again. So at the end of the day,
you just can't win. Good.
You can't win. You just cannot win. So the most important thing is to not focus on the talk, but focus on putting out a good product. At the end of the day, that's where your mindset should be, not on what people say you are, not what people call you, but it's about you. Once you know your mind and you know what is in your mind and your heart and what you want to do, then people talk doesn't necessarily matter, bro.
True. Now, Jamal, I did say that I'm going to ask some questions and cause a little trouble because that's what I do best. That was one. Number two, Jamal, you're known around. You're an attractive guy. How were they able to tie you down? How did that happen?
To be quite honest, is most important thing that when you do that, it's called love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love is the first thing that you do, and I grew up with a lot of love in my heart, so that's one of the things. And at that point in time, throughout all the struggles I had in my life, I went through a lot of struggles in my life. I reach a point where you find somebody who supports you,
yeah,
who share your dream and your vision with you, who would be there for you. You know when they say ride or die, bruh? Like, it's seriously ride or die. So it's like, that's how I felt. Like, at that point in time, like, there is nothing more that I need again. I have a wonderful family. I have a support figure. Like, bruh, Jay-Z wouldn't be Jay-Z without Beyoncé, right? I know I don't have Jay-Z money.
Not as yet. We're on our way.
But the love that people share for you is basically the same thing when they support you on that level. So it was a no-brainer for me to just say, you know what, this is what it is, and I'm happy that I did it. And to be quite honest, some of my friends are following my footsteps right now. So
I the only thing that you kind of created issues for me, because when I saw the size of that ring, I was like, bruh, I can't compete with that dude.
Yeah, boy, it's there. Love expensive too.
I like that you say that. Is it difficult working in the industry and the industry that you work in and to be in a committed relationship, or does it go hand in hand because that person is such a support system and they're by your side and understands the trials and tribulations that come with the territory?
Well, it all depends on who you are as an individual, though, what you want to do, because we all know that in this industry, a lot of people think that this industry is all about fun, women, rum, and all of that, but it's your personality, it's what you want to accomplish in your life. Because my goal is not to just be out there having fun and popping bottles. My goal is to be owning properties just like everybody else in St. Lucia. So once you have a goal and you know what you want to do in life and what you want to do in life, then everything else is just what I would have called it, fake imagination and supply. Whatever people however people see it, then that's them. But it all depends on you and your character. What do you want for yourself? If you know you want to be a promoter and live life and, you know, being all around the place and doing whatever it is, that's then, bruh, relationship's not for you. You should know that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to just focus on your business aspect, because at that point in time, when you realize you reach a certain age and then you have kids and stuff like that, what do you want to do? Where do you see your kids? Do you want your kids just jumping from house to house or seeing woman from woman to woman coming in the house? Nah, you want to make sure you have that solid foundation. And a lot of people think, boy, you're too young for that. But I didn't know love at an age or stability at an age, though. Yeah. I didn't get that.
Jamal, when we started this interview, we did say that 30 minutes might not be enough. So we really have 3 minutes left in this interview. We still have to talk about your new project, which is coming up. Super excited. I'm going to let you introduce it and tell us what makes you different to the other...
car wash.
You see, the thing is, you're not a car wash, so it's yeah, different.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll let you explain.
Well, basically, it's a new venture which we are about to kick off tomorrow, which is called Glit 758. First of all, a lot of people ask me what's Glit, and basically, Glit is another way to say shine. So it's just being creative. Instead of saying shine, which is just a common word, you try and find another word for it, so we say Glit. It's a luxurious car wash where we offer all different kinds of service. One of our top services is basically foam wash, where your vehicle gets foamed up, and that foam solution takes out all the dirt and stuff on your vehicle. So it's just another experience. So what we base our establishment on is not just throwing water on a vehicle, but bringing a different experience to both you and your vehicle. Mm-hmm. So when you leave, you would be satisfied. Of course, I want you to come back. I'm not going to tell the guys to wash your vehicle clean. It's like, not clean. Well, we can wash clean, but hey, we need a little bit sometimes, you know. So, but we plan to make our customers gain that kind of experience in a car wash, something of difference. And our ideal, we have the ideal location, which is opposite Harbor Club. And I must say thank you to the landowners. They gave major support on that as well. They themselves gave us some ideas. So it's something of a difference, and I'm a bit excited about it. So I must say we open it tomorrow so people could come. We also offer courtesy service where you park your vehicle, we drop you to your establishment, and we come back and pick you up. But in that, your vehicle does not touch the road. We have a vehicle which picks you up and bring you for your vehicle. So we don't want your vehicle on the road, because at the end of the day, as much as we are licensed drivers, there are people on the road that we cannot control them. So we don't want anybody's vehicle to end up in any accidents or anything like that. So we rather put our own vehicles to that risk. So you could drop your vehicle, we drop you to an establishment and pick you back up when your vehicle is ready. So there are a number of services that we offer, which is quite different. So I would encourage people to come down. We open from tomorrow. We open 7 days a week. You could come down, get your vehicle nicely washed and polished and everything like that. So you could come down tomorrow. We open from 9. And again, it's opposite Harbor Club. So, Ronnie, I expect to see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll just wash shoes, man. Yeah. I'll be good.
Yeah, I remember you asked for that.
Oh my goodness. Jamal, you know what? I want to thank you so much. Before we go, I just want you to leave some, well, you've left so much encouraging, words for young people listening who may want to venture into love, who may want to venture into business. What is one thing that you could leave with them that, you know, that resonated with you throughout your journey that you would love to share?
I would say, and probably a lot of people hate already, believe in yourself. Believe that you can do it. Like, listen to people. It's always good to listen. So not everybody is fighting you down, not everybody is attacking you, but it's always good to listen to what people have to say. But in all, you must believe in yourself, bro, that you could do it, that no matter what, you could do it. And there will always be hurdles, there will always be obstacles in the way. But you could get over it if you just believe in yourself. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be where I am today. And if I didn't get them hurdles, who knows, I probably wouldn't even be where I am today. I probably would have been somewhere else. So I'm grateful for all the hurdles and everything that happened. And I always tell people that in life, there's nothing called mistakes. It's just lessons. There's no mistakes. You just learn a lesson. Don't look at anything as a mistake. Or if you think something bad happening to you, it's not a bad situation. It's a lesson, so it will not happen again. So just learn from that. That's all I have to say. And before I leave too, I always want to give thanks to all the people that supported me. You know, I have a couple friends who just waiting for me to shout out their name, Benny and Carlos. Hilarion, Dexter, Saucy, Ron, Jessica, my wife, her family, the men's family. Boy, there are so many people. Actually, I've been there, been supporting me for years. Marine, yourself, Ronnie, Tammy, you guys been there for me for years. So thanks to everybody, man. And again, without the support, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Jamal, we want to thank you and look forward to hearing more from you from further endeavors. Yes, definitely. You know, you don't have our support already. All right?
Yeah, man.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Jamal Cyril right here on Youth Unplugged. Brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia.